the Jungle is starting hour number two. I am Jim Rome. If you missed hour number one, it was a really strong hour, and I want to reset that. I'm very happy to be back broadcasting from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studio. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. Coming up later on this hour, rapper, actor, and creator of the Big Three League, Ice Cube, joins us. That's at 40 past. We had David Quessenberry, Houston Texans offensive lineman, on the program last hour. And he told an amazing story about how he was diagnosed with cancer, lymphoma. He's come all the way back. He played in a preseason game this past Wednesday, and I thought that was a really powerful interview. Telephone calls coming up a little bit later on. We start hour number two with a conversation with a five-time Pro Bowl player. He is seventh in league history in receiving yardage, seventh in league history in all-purpose yardage. He is 12th in league history in receptions. He is an NFL Network analyst now. You can follow him on Twitter at 89 Steve Smith. NFL Network carries two preseason games live this week. Big week for them. It includes a triple header on Saturday beginning at 3 p.m. Eastern. We are joined by Steve Smith Sr. Steve, it's great to have you back. How are you?
Doing good. How you doing, Jim?
Good, good, Steve. Great to hear your voice. Now, in January, Steve, you wrote to Roger Goodell to announce that you were retiring and that you would, quote, no longer be antagonizing defensive backs. Now the training camp has started up, Steve, and the preseason games are underway, is there any part of you that wants to be back out there antagonizing DBs?
No, I'm pretty settled in retired life and, taking it day by day. And, I think it's a new chapter and second page of a new chapter in my life.
Steve, I feel like over the years when you and I talked during your career, you were always setting something up. I mean, you were focused on the business at hand, and you were all in. But you always had your eye on life after football. You knew there would be life after football. So, obviously, you're very busy right now. But what about retirement? What's it been like so far? Is it what you expected?
I mean, it's different. I think one of the biggest things that is a relief is I actually have power or control over my own schedule, being a husband, being a father, and sometimes it is very tough when you can't be home for certain things. The kids don't care if you're a football player. They don't care if coach whoever says on this day you have to work or on this day we're switching it up to some degree. The family really, they don't look at you like that. They expect you to be there if you said you're going to be there, and then if the schedule changes, you kind of let them down. So I don't have that as much anymore. So that's cool. Like I get to be home. Like I took one of my boys. We went to Staples off of Max and just got the school supplies. Where a lot of times my wife would do that because I would be in training camp. So it's unique and it's different, and it takes some adjustment.
Steve Smith Sr. joining us. So what about the selection there? Is it what you thought it would be at Staples? Did you find everything you need to find?
Yeah, I got it all taken care of.
Good, man. Good. Glad to hear it. He's also an NFL Network analyst. So, Steve, talk about your new gig. I mean, what's it been like for you to make the transition now to an analyst? I mean, some former players obviously are reluctant to criticize current players. I've never known you not to speak your mind. Are you comfortable calling out other guys if that's what the job calls for?
Well, when I was a player, you always watched guys who played and how they would conduct themselves or what they would say. And so my whole objective, I look at doing my job, you do three things when you see a guy on television. You either turn it up, change the channel, or turn it off. And so I want to be a guy that is respected enough to turn it up, but also know that, if I have to call a guy out, I don't really want to say I want to call guys out. I just want to more look at it from a player's perspective and ask questions that I think don't want to compromise the player or get that, I like to call it the stank face from a player. When an analyst or someone reports right after a game and they say, what were you thinking on that drop pass? Like, I don't want to ask that question. I know what he was thinking. After he dropped it, he was thinking, gosh, how did I let my team down? That's unlike me. And I don't want to ask those questions, you know, and I don't want to put that player in that position. You know, if I see a guy that you expect to have a good game and he doesn't, I guess I'm going to say that, you know, talk in more of what the expectation of that player is and his history of a great performance instead of saying this guy's a bum. You know, I understand how many hours and all the stuff that's put into it. And so for me, in a, 30-second soundbite can discredit that or question him, because I want to be respected at all 32 teams. When I come to those teams' facility, the guys are willing to talk to me, not kind of roll their eyes like, man, you know, you talked about me as if you've never been here. So I don't want to be one of those guys. And I want to try very, very hard in my new transition in my job is to be looked at as an analyst who happened – at one point in his career, play football, but not really just be looked at as an ex-player. So I'm really learning I already know the X's and O's, but what I don't know is how the administrative part of football is and learning that. What is a guy, how does a guy get to the criteria? What are the criteria to be a first-round draft pick? You know, other than just being a baller, other than just catching a 1,000 you know, catches or having a 1,000-yard season in college, you know, what are some of the other attributes that scouts and the system in which all 32 teams operate and process? I want to learn that, and I've been learning that. And so with that being all said, it is equivalent to drinking water from a fire hydrant through a straw. It is a lot coming at you at one time, and I'm trying to figure it out and learn and really just see how everything unfolds and works.
Steve Smith Sr. joining us, an NFL Network analyst now. Of course, you can follow him on Twitter at 89SteveSmith. Now, you've been making your rounds. You've gone to a number of teams. You spent some time with the Buffalo Bills, and you spoke to their wide receivers. Sammy Watkins was still with the team at that time.
Yes.
And he said that your message, Steve, to him was, quote, "The DBs are not our friends. I love the Bills DBs to death, but at the end of the day, I've got to feed my kids. I've got a legacy I'm trying to chase." He was just telling us you're not a bad guy if you're an a-hole, basically. It was a good speech. End of quote. So as a receiver, how much of this game is just a personal battle between you and the defensive back?
Well, I think really one of the biggest things is it's a battle within yourself. You know, there's a lot of things going on. I mean, we're, you know, our game is talked about 24 hours a day via Twitter, Instagram, blogs, and all that stuff. So you have, you know, in the last 16 years, things have changed dramatically. You know, we've baseball used to be America's pastime, but I really believe football has become that pastime. It's a 44, you know, each teams are making millions and billions of dollars, so it's really a big deal. So, you know, Sammy took what I said, and everybody takes a conversation differently. But basically what I was just pointing out to him is, you know, you could be friends, and you can, you know, you can have fun and once a coach you say, you could jaw jack around all you want. But at the end of the day, when you step on the field, don't be surprised when a guy that you're standing next to in the cafeteria line takes a shot at you, because his job is online too. He's trying to feed his family. He's trying to get a job. He's trying to get a roster spot. There's 90 roster spots, beginner training camp, and it goes down to 53 at the end of before the first kickoff. So you can't always be friends with everybody. Friends are going to come and go. And so just making sure they understand that, because in our, if you watch how, you know, NBA, NFL, how the players are, a lot of guys that are rivals. You know, back in the 90s when I was watching the Pistons and the Chicago Bulls and the Los Angeles Lakers and the Boston Celtics, New York Knicks, those guys hated each other. But when you look at our game now, you know, in basketball, teams, guys are getting on the same teams and being rivals, but yet being friends, taking vacations together. And so just understanding, like, you know, you can do that, but also don't get it confused. It's still competitive, and you got to be willing, a friend at that point in time, you got to be able to be willing to, you know, hit them. And put them in the dirt. And I think sometimes the friendships kind of tank that a little bit.
Steve Smith Sr. joining us for a few more moments. Now, Steve, you've been very outspoken when it comes to the issue of domestic violence. So what was your reaction when you heard that the league was suspending Ezekiel Elliott for 6 games? And what kind of a message does that send the rest of the players around the NFL?
I think it sends a huge message. Some people say it's a distorted message. Every guy is different. I think ultimately the decision and the message that the league is sending is things have to change. There's more guys coming out, and I don't want to say more guys, but I just did say that. But I think because of our game and the reporting of all that you do on the field and off the field, guys are coming out of college, unfortunately, sounding like with a rap sheet or perspective or something that isn't good. And I think the league is kind of trying to send a message like, look, just because you could catch a football but get in trouble at the same time, there are going to be ramifications, consequences. You're not going to be allowed to come to the draft, which will hurt your draft status. Then if you didn't have any issues in college, but you get here and you're doing some things that just doesn't represent our brand, you know, right, there are going to be consequences. And, you know, that's just kind of how it goes. The same thing goes in business. You could be a CEO of a company, have some things that don't work out, but after a while, you look at the guy for Uber. You know, you have to step down. Shareholders are going to require you to behave right, and they cannot allow someone to damage their share, their stock, that ultimately gets in their pocket, their own pockets. So you're going to have ramifications and consequences.
Now, Steve, you recently had the Hall of Fame game, we all did, and the Hall of Fame inductions, and I ran down your numbers at the start of this interview, and you've had the kind of career that generates a lot of attention when it comes to the Hall of Fame. What would it mean to you to be voted into the Hall?
I mean, it would be one of my goals that I've had for my career from the start. It is something that when you speak of Hall of Fame, everybody knows what it is. So if I get that opportunity, get that jacket, it'll be great. But, you know, we all can't get it. But if I get that chance, it'd be awesome. But at the same time, I still have had the opportunity to have fun and play the game in which I've grown to love and grew up watching and desired to play in, and I did it.
Steve, I got one last thought for you. You know, watching your entire career, like all great athletes, I've always marveled at your drive, your fire, your desire, your determination, your will, you know, part of the things that make you so great. So I've got kind of a two-part question. If you could bottle that, you'd be a billionaire. We all want it. Is it something that you can manufacture? Is it something that's innate? Are you hardwired for it? Or is it a part of your background? And then once your playing career is over, does it wane, or do you still have it, and do you just try and disperse it in different ways now?
Well, one, you have to disperse it in different ways. I do believe the gift is, you know, the way I grew up. The curse is the way I grew up. And I say a curse because there's times where the passion that you have does not always require that same passion when you're talking to your 15-year-old daughter, or when you're talking to your 19-year-old son, or when you're talking to your wife who is not a football player, not a football coach. You know, so you have to consciously, you know, turn it off. There's a part of me where I'm happy I don't have to be on deal with that pressure of ball anymore. I could just kind of go. Now it's getting the kids to their events on time, which is easy compared to doing ball. So it all varies, and yes, if I could bottle up and sell it, it'd be great. But then I've always said this: if everybody played like me, then I'd be out of a job and I wouldn't be unique. So that's the gift and the curse about it. But, you know, if I can go back and do it all over again, I'm not really sure I would if changing things will be good, because you never know the outcome. So I'm just happy where I am, and I'm enjoying retirement, trying to figure out what's the next step, and, you know, trying to take it day by day. And it's been pretty cool. Golf game went from flat line to has a little life, you know. So I'm enjoying the competition between the courses, you know, just battling the course itself. And so it's fun. And so that's what I'm kind of doing is I would really say more. I'm less golfing, more of killing some grass, but it's fun.
You've been so great with your time. I got to finally ask then, like, where are you playing and what are some of your favorite courses?
I played at Old North State in North Carolina. I think before the season starts to start work, I'm going to head up to Pinehurst to play up there. So, I mean, my game is going. I only play 9 holes right now because I walk, trying to, you know, get in shape and still be active. So, you know, 1 week I'm shooting a 9 holes, I'm shooting a 55, and the next one I'm shooting 64. So, you know, I'm just trying to figure it out. And this week I'm playing twice, and hopefully, you know, I'll be in the, you know, if I can shoot a 56 after not playing for about a month, I'd be very thankful.
All right, so I lied. One last follow. So you want to stay in shape, right? So you're on TV right now. If you're a guy that played the game as long as you did and you're constantly denying yourself and you're so disciplined, when you finally are done playing, do you kind of want to let it go and just do the things you were never able to do? Or are you feeling like, no, I'm on TV, I've got that pride, I've got that vanity, I still have to look the part?
I mean, just be transparent to vanity. You don't want to be no guy of a in the special category, wide receiver, running back. I think less of quarterbacks, but, you know, corner, linebacker. Nobody wants to be the fat guy, like the guy you see on TV, like, whoa, that dude blew up. You know, you don't want to be that, and I don't want to be that, especially when you're 5'9". You can look real fat on TV real quick. So, I'm just trying to stay in shape, be healthy. And really, too, one of the reasons to be healthy is, you know, my family has a history of diabetes. So that's a very important to me. And so I try to run and stay in shape so I have the opportunity to create a good habit of being healthy. But also because if I could run enough during the week, that means I get the opportunity, I'm healthy enough to walk my daughter down the aisle, whatever age that is. And so that's a constant battle. You look at all the stories and things about players and the health. You know, I'm just trying to be a healthy guy that used to play football, but also just be a healthy father and husband. And I think that'll go a long way.
The NFL Network's got a triple header on Saturday beginning at 3 p.m. Eastern. He is an NFL Network analyst, and, of course, you can follow him on Twitter, at 89 Steve Smith. My man, you and I have had some great conversations over the years, and I would put this one right near the top. It is so good to have you back, Steve. Congrats, and really nice to have you on the show, man. Thanks so much.
Appreciate it. You do a great job. I've always been a big fan of you, continue to be.
You too, Steve. You too. I'm proud of you. You're doing great. I'm not at all surprised, but you're attacking your new job the way I thought you would and just killing it already. Steve Smith, Sr., 5-time Pro Bowl player, 7th in league history in receiving yardage, 7th in league history in all-purpose yardage. What can I say? 89. Do not mess with the man.
89. Bottom line.
One of my favorites of all time. I'll be objective. I'll be impartial. I don't play favorites. I can't say that I do, but Steve Smith is definitely one of my favorites of all time. Big Steve Smith house. All right, your thoughts on that? Back with a vengeance. You see, that's why I get 2 weeks off, right? Because I come back like that. Fired up and ready to talk. Ready to do some business. We've got a short break. I've got Cube coming up at 40 past. So the next segment's actually open. It's going to be a short segment, but it's wide open. It's your best chance to jump in. If you want to comment on anything you've heard so far in the first hour and a half of the program, do it right now.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Smith hitting big, as you might imagine. Always has in this program over the years. Patria 1818 tweets, epic interview with Steve Smith. First day back from vacation, give yourself a tongue. War 89, bottom line.
89, bottom line.
Yeah, I don't give myself tongues anymore. Every time I do that, the microphone slides halfway across the floor. Then again, a decade of doing that probably will happen, right? at my two cents worth tweets. Is there anything Steve Smith isn't good at? I don't know. Golf, I guess. If he's looking to shoot 56 for 9. My man's so awesome. I mean, who would say that but Steve Smith and own that and come off looking great? Yeah, he's good at most things. Really good at most things. At Tommy Gallegos tweets, best quote I've heard in a long time, water from a hydrant through a straw.
It's all 32 teams operating process. I want to learn that, and I've been learning that. It is equivalent to drinking water from a fire hydrant through a straw.
That's great. Drew in West LA is in via email. Dear Rome sleep schedule, time to die! That's honestly true. The jet lag is an ass kicker this time around. Yeah, I can go on and on about the flight back or the trip. I would tell you this that I find really interesting. So the day that we flew back, we flew from, we flew from Nice to Rome and Rome to LA. The drive in the morning, we had a wake-up call at 4:40 a.m., which is pretty early for a vacation wake-up call. We get in this car and we drive from the hotel to the airport in Nice, and the car has Wi-Fi. And maybe I'm a little late to this party, but I thought that was the coolest freaking thing I'd ever seen. Wi-Fi in a car. And especially there. I did my best on this trip to try and set that thing up. What I didn't do was I didn't get the local SIM card. I got the international calling plan, thought that I was covered, thought that I was fine. There's nothing worse than that text that dings your phone. It's like, Verizon alerting you that you just incurred a $100 cost because you've gone over your data. I mean, that's the ultimate hammer. So I've never done this before, but every time I went anywhere all day long, I was looking for passwords, Wi-Fi passwords, because I didn't want that message again. I mean, every restaurant, every store, hey, what's your Wi-Fi? What's your Wi-Fi? So imagine how pumped I was when I got into a car that had Wi-Fi. A freaking car with Wi-Fi. I don't know about you. My car does not have Wi-Fi. I thought that was so awesome. So we drive. I don't even want the drive to end. From the hotel to the airport. Wi-Fi. Pretty cool, right? Then I get onto a plane from Rome to L.A. More than 11 hours. No Wi-Fi. I ain't getting a freaking car with Wi-Fi, but an airplane that had no Wi-Fi. Yeah, how old do you think that plane was? And I don't want to hear anything about flying over the ocean. Man, that's a plane thing. That's not a water thing. That plane was old. Old, dude. No movies because the little TV screen didn't work either. TV screen was out, and it had no Wi-Fi. Oh, and also I had to ask for food. That was kind of weird, too. I've never had to ask for food. And plus, my pride usually prevents me from asking for food, but I thought that I was going to die. I was famished. I'm like, hey, yo, yeah, excuse me. Yes, sir, can we help you? I don't know. You got any food? Is there any food around this airplane? So I'm not going to be that guy that, and notice I'm not that guy who gets online. I might have given you some pictures from the vacation, especially on Instagram, but I'm not that guy that when things start to go awry traveling, I rush right to the phone to go to Twitter to air somebody out. So I'm not going to drop any names or any airlines, but I won't be flying that airline again. Come on, man. No Wi-Fi. I can get Wi-Fi in a car, but not an airplane.
A car.
But not an airplane. A little weird. When we come back, another interview for you, and then we are wide open. But I've got Ice Cube. Hey, look, you know if I'm going to be off 2 weeks, I'm coming back strong. Strong interview, strong takes. Now I need a strong phone call or two. Speaking of strong phone calls, I will try to recap Smack Off 23, the best we've ever had, before the end of the program. Cube is coming up next, but first a sports update. Here is the very latest for you.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Keep this thing moving and rolling right through it. Your telephone call is coming up a little bit later on, but as I mentioned, we're joined right now by a mogul, an award-winning actor, director, producer, music icon, a member of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. His films include Boys in the Hood, Friday, Three Kings, Barbershop, 21 Jump Street. He is the co-founder of Big 3 League. Big 3 Week 8 games air tonight on Fox Sports 1, 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern. We're joined by Ice Cube. Cube, good to have you back. How are you?
What up, Jim? How you feeling, man?
Good, bud. How about you?
I feel great.
Cube, you had a dream. You had a vision for a professional three-on-three league. What's it been like for you to see this thing become a reality?
It's been, you know, a lot of hard work, of course. But, you know, all of that hard work is paying off because, you know, at the end of the day, you know, we're getting, you know, hard-nosed basketball in the summer. Guys are going after it. This format is great. It's something we all used to because we all grew up playing three-on-three basketball. And, you know, everybody can see the vision of where this league can go and how it can grow and what it can become. And this year, you know, we had what I call the believers, you know, was the guys who saw the dream and helped it come true.
Go back to your first point, because one of the things that keeps coming up from the players is that this is not some retirement league. It's a chance to go to battle and get after it in a legitimately competitive environment. Was there ever any concern on your part that it wouldn't be competitive, or did you know that with the guys you had in this league, guys like Stackjack and Kenyon Martin, there was no way that they were going to coast?
You know, that's part of it. We were doing everything we could to ensure hard-nosed competition. And, you know, getting people like Kenyon Martin and Chauncey Billups and even coaches like Gary Payton, we know these guys are ballers. And an NBA contract does not dictate, you know, whether they're going to go all out in a basketball game or not. So, you know, that's the start. You know, we had the cornerstone of great hard-nosed players. You know, Steven Jackson coming on, Al Harrington, Mike Bibby, Jermaine O'Neal, Rashard Lewis. You know, all these guys, they want to compete with their peers. They sick of playing, you know, in a lot of pro-am kind of stuff. They're ready to play with guys they play with in the league.
Ice Cube joining us. And then you've got Charles Oakley. He made his debut as a player at Staples. He came very close to getting into a scrap with James White. What did you think seeing Oak back on the court?
Well, you know, I knew that it wouldn't be easy. You know, I commend Oak for going out there and giving it a shot. But, you know, being fair to anybody out there, you know, nobody's just going to walk on the big three court and expect to be successful their first game. Everybody struggles until they get the pace, the style, and the flavor of how, you know, we play. So, you know, every new player who stepped on the court has struggled their first game. So if he plays in Seattle, he'll probably have a better, you know, game. But he was putting some thump out there. You know, it's old Oak. He's like, I was like, your name Oakley or Oak Tree? Which one is it?
Ice Cube joining us. You know, Oak's going to show up a certain way. You know that. You expect that. He'll find his legs. You see, you've got Rashard
Without
Lewis.
Doubt.
You got Rashard Lewis. Cube, who's the leading scorer. You've got Mike Bibby, who leads the league in assists. You've got Reggie Evans, who leads the league in rebounding. Who are some of the guys that have impressed you the most and that you've enjoyed the most watching?
Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf.
Good, yeah.
I mean, seeing him move around and get open and just, you know, he's like Bruce Lee out there. You know, he's so technical and so calculated and so skilled. And to be able to see that again is, you know, I definitely pay for that ticket.
Yeah, I'm so glad you brought him up, Q, because when the league was announced, and certainly we had you on the program, but there are so many big names and so many guys we could talk to. He was on the short list, and he came on the program. And it's amazing to see this guy moving around the way he is at 48. I mean, you're right. That's like some Bruce Lee stuff right there. Now, you've made no secret of the fact you'd love to get Kobe on the court once again. So how do you go about approaching that? I mean, have you approached him, or are you going to take your time with that?
Well, I mean, it's nothing I can say to convince him to play. It's really on him. He has to feel the itch. You know, we're presenting a great product for any NBA player, not just Kobe, but any former NBA player who still has the itch to compete, you know, at that level, you know, in front of a crowd, in front of a live, you know, television audience worldwide. if you're feeling it, you know, here we are. That's what the league is for. It's for guys to continue to play on that high level. And so, you know, we're hoping that, you know, we present a product that's so good you can't resist. And we believe a lot of guys who took, you know, backseat this year to see what we were going to do are going to, you know, join the draft pool and be part of the league next year.
Cube, you beat LaVar Ball in a four-point shooting contest. How did that feel, and how much pride do you have in that win?
I mean, that's easy money. Look, the Staples Center is my house. You know what I mean?
Right.
So ain't nobody going to come in my house and beat me in my house on my court. No, it was fun. You know, I commend
that's great.
LaVar for coming out there. He was a good sport about it. And, you know, he's put so much more excitement into Laker basketball right now. Not him, but his son. But the whole, you know, style is so L.A. to me. And I just can't wait to see his son on the court. And I love beating him because he got a big mouth. So I had to shut that mouth.
Cube joining us. I was going to say, and you answered this in large part, but what do you make of the old man? And then more importantly, what do you make of his son, Lonzo?
Great potential. Seems like he's ready for the big stage. You know, I love, you know, that he's, you know, a true point guard that's willing to get his teammates involved and make them better. So I'm excited. You know, I didn't realize he was 6'6", so that makes me even more excited because big point guards are, you know, they have a nice place in my heart, like Magic Johnson. So I can't wait to see what he got. As far as the father, I think it's brilliant. I mean, he's the only college player I even knew about. You know, it's so much one and done in college now. You know, the fans are not really investing into the players as much. They just wait and see what they're going to do. So, you know, for a guy to put some light on his son, to tell his son that, you know, he's the best thing since sliced bread, tell the world that. You know, I was in that position with Straight Outta Compton with my son. So O'Shea Jackson Jr., you know, I was going to scream from the mountaintops that, you know, this is one of the best new actors in Hollywood, not just because he's my son, because he's just a brilliant person. So I knew that he would be able to take this and run with it, and he's doing great things. So I commend LaVar for, you know, doing it how he feel it. Of course, I don't agree with everything he does. Who's going to agree with any man and everything they do? So some of the things he do, I wouldn't do. But for the most part, you know, I love a man that's behind his kids.
Talking Ice Cube for a few more moments. Cube, I know you've been really busy with the league, but if you step away from the court for just a moment, what kind of thoughts and emotions have you had when you see what happened in Charlottesville over the weekend with Nazis marching in broad daylight?
It's terrible. But, you know, this is something, you know, this is the ugliness of racism. It's not pretty. It's ugly. It's elusive. It hides and it pops out, you know, like herpes or something. You know what I mean? It just pops out all out of nowhere. So it's kind of crazy to see, you know, this on a high level. I mean, I heard it was like only a few arrests, you know, out of that mayhem. You know, it's like, let's get these thugs off the street. Let's, you know, clean up this thing. You know, if, to me, you know, the monument going or staying, who could give a damn to me? I could care less. You know, people getting hurt over it, now that's just crazy. That's just crazy. That's just, to me, it makes no sense for people to get hurt for that thing that's been there so long. And who gives a damn, you know, about Robert E. Lee statue or whoever the hell he is? Who cares?
People getting hurt, people getting killed. And that's where we are right now. Cube is a mogul, an award-winning actor, a director, a producer, and a music icon. You've got the big three week eight games. They air tonight on Fox Sports 1, 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern. Cube, great to have you back. Appreciate your thoughts on all that, Cube. Great having you.
Hey, thanks, Jim, man. You know, it's always cool talking to you. And I can't wait till you can see a big three game in person, man. You got to see it in person. It's incredible.
Well, man, you're right. I have to. I haven't done that yet. I've been watching. I've been watching, but not in person. I'll take you up on that, Cube. If that's an invite, I will take you up on that. And once again, those games air on Fox Sports 1, 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern. Ice Cube. All right, so those are three interviews that we set up. All great interviews, back to back to back. We had David Quessenberry, Texans offensive lineman. I can reset. We had Steve Smith, and we had Cube. So we're setting up now for hour number three. Let me set that hour up for you. I had 2 weeks off, back from that two-week vacation, so now I'm set for the big grind. I do this every single year. You know, I take a lot of vacation because I get a lot of vacation. And if you're going to get 6 weeks in or 5 weeks in every single year, it stands to reason, you probably want to knock out two at a time. So I usually do that in the month of August, and that sets up for the big push. The big push and the big grind when the NFL season gets out underway and it's almost impossible to take time off. And by the way, I wouldn't want to take time off, not during the NFL season. So that's how we're setting up. Looking ahead to hour number three, we still haven't talked about Justin Thomas and his win in the PGA Championship. We did talk about Ezekiel Elliott. We talked about what happened yesterday. Obviously, I led the show with that. Bills Mafia. We have not talked about the trades that went down and where that leaves your team. I really want to get your thoughts on that. I'll give you mine before I ask you how you feel about it. Conor McGregor and Floyd Mayweather were under 2 weeks to that fight. And you know, I want to say that in the 2 weeks that I was off, I don't want to say that fundamentally things changed for me, because certainly they did not. But the more I watch of Conor McGregor, as well as I thought that I knew this guy, at least at a distance, the more I watch of him, the more I listen to him, the more I see of him, and I'm not going to say that he can win this fight. I'm not going to say that I'm going to pick him to win this fight. But I got to admit, there's something really weird, like almost mesmerizing or hypnotic about it. Like, the more you listen to this guy, the more he draws you in, the more you start to think, maybe, possibly. Nah, he can't win that fight. Maybe he can hurt Floyd. Maybe he can land that shot. And if you listen to Conor, he's constantly telling you, yeah, but when I land that shot, guys go to sleep. When I hit guys, they fall down and they don't get back up. Could he maybe land that shot? Did you see the video of him fighting or sparring with Malignaggi? Do you think it was legitimate? Do you think he landed shots on a former champ? I don't know. There's something about Conor. And especially over the last 2 weeks. Bryce Harper. I mean, never mind surgery. When he hit that bag and he hit the ground, at that point, I'm not thinking surgery. I'm thinking amputation. And this guy gets out of that with only a bone bruise? And a smack off 23 recap, possibly, if I can get to it. So it's going to be a very busy third hour. 1-800-636-8686. You're in the jungle. I am Jim Rome. It is great to be back. And this is CBS Sports Radio.